मोकम करोति वाचालम पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरो दीनतारिणम परमानंद माधवम श्री चैतन्यईश्वरम। So let's start. We'll sing the last two verses of Chaurashtakam and discuss the same. Man manase tamas rashi ghore karagrahe dukkha mai badha rashi ghore काराग्रहे दुःखमये बाधन लभस्व हे चौरहरे चिराय स्वचौर्यदोषोचितम् एव दण्डम् लभस्व हे चौरहरे चिराय स्वचौर्यदोषोचितम् एव दण्डम् व्रजे प्रसीदम् नवनीता चौरं गोपांगनानां च दुकुल चौरं व्रजे प्रसीदं नवनीता चौरं गोपांगनानां च दुकुल चौरं अनेक जन्मार्जित पाप चौरं चौराग्रगण्यं पुरुषं नमामि काराग्रहे वस सदारदये मदिये मद्भक्ति पाश दृढ़ बंधना निश्चलासन त्वां कृष्ण हे प्रलय कोटि शतांतरेपि सर्वस्व चौर हृदयान् नहि मोचयामि So, very beautiful verses by Vilwamangal Thakur. when we try to understand these verses, you know, it's really mesmerizing. Because to what level the acharyas think, and what bhakti they have, what love for Krishna, what love for Krishna. Yes, the one who attains Krishna will be in this mode, and here we see Vilwamangal Thakur in this mode. So when it comes to pure devotees, they always think they are lower than the lowest. Always. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, at one place he says that I am lower than the worm in the stool, he says. And then he says that I am lower than Jagai and Madhai. And who is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? At the age of 90, he gets direct permission from Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and various other devotees, they went to Radha Govinda Dev Mandir in Vrindavan. And you know, he prayed from his heart that, do you really want me to write this and do this Herculean task of writing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this age, at this ripe age of 90? And a garland fell, from the neck of Govinda Devji. And that was the permission that he got. And all the Vaishnavas, they started roaring loudly, Hari, Hari, Hari. That Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because of whom we have got Chaitanya Charitamrita, because of whom we are able to relish Gaur Leela, that personality is saying, I am lower than the lowest. I am worm in a stool. I'm lower than Jagai and Madhai. I don't think I need to describe our situation. So our situation is like, He's lower than the lowest. He's lower than the lowest. Surely everyone is lower than me. Externally, yes. I am this. I am that. No, I'm really good for nothing and things like that. But internally, unfortunately, since our heart is not cleansed, we don't have that feeling of feeling lower than the lowest. If we really feel, you know, lower than the lowest, then surely Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Patita Pavan Avatar, will actually deliver us. But the problem is we don't feel Patita. No, that's the problem. The day we feel that we are Patita, that day Patita Pavan will deliver us. But no, till the time we feel that we are Patita Pavan, then we cannot do anything. Then even Patita Pavan cannot do anything. Even Gauranga Mahaprabhu cannot do anything. So what is very, very important is understanding the mood of pure devotees, how humble they are, what sort of humility that these great personalities have. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur is portraying his humility, you know, through these beautiful verses, the last two verses, especially the second last verse, verse number 7. He is saying, Man manase tamasa rashi ghore karagrahe dukha mai nibaddha. He is saying, Man manase tamasa rashi ghore. He is saying that my heart is full of tamasa, ghor tamasa, ghor andakar, deep darkness, deep ignorance. Who is talking in this? Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Who is Bilwa Mangal Thakur? Bilwa Mangal Thakur is that personality who was always helped by Krishna when he was in the blind state towards the end of his life. So Krishna would personally, you know, help Bilwa Mangal Thakur to go from one place to another. Krishna would personally do various things for Bilwa Mangal Thakur. That personality is saying that my heart is full of ignorance. Obviously, that is his humility. But for us, it's the truth, isn't it? My heart is full of darkness. I don't know about other devotees, but at least mine is there. Full of darkness. Full of garbage within. Nothing good is there in our heart. Nothing good. You know, I always say this in my classes. What if we just, you know, cut open our heart? I'm talking about the subtle part, not the gross part. The gross blood will come out. But then I'm talking about the subtle part. If we just cut open our heart, you know, so much of garbage will come that it will inundate the entire world. Entire world. Entire world will be stinking that day. You know, when we'll cut open our heart. So much of garbage, isn't it? And this garbage is not gained in one lifetime. This garbage we have got from lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. It has just piled up in our hearts. Literally piled up in our hearts. Kama, krodha, moha, mada, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. All these six very, very amazing, stinking things are like, you know, dancing in our heart. They've occupied entire heart of ours, entire heart. And when these anarthas are there, anartha, that which does not have any artha, that which does not have any meaning, when that is there in our heart, the heart will become dark, completely dark. Just imagine we enter a room and it's pitch dark in the room. We'll not be able to see anything in the room. Anything. So what is needed at that place? We need a torch. And that torch is very, very important, by which we'll be able to see various things. Currently, our life is like it's filled with darkness, complete darkness. And that is the reason we are suffering in our day-to-day life. We are not understanding who we are really. In fact, we, you know, have sessions, Gita course session 3. It talks about we are not the body, we are spirit soul. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 talks about we are not the body, we are spirit soul. Deinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuyati. Very nicely we bahar these shlokas. We'll explain also very nicely with giving a lot of analogies and this and that. But when it comes to ourselves, you know, we are completely, thoroughly convinced that I am this body, not spirit soul. How do we justify this statement? Because if we have really realized ourselves that we are spirit soul, we'll not act on lower platform. Spirit soul is always relish spirit. spirit soul or spiritual entity will not relish matter, because matter is always lower to spirit. So, like for example, a human being will not relish tool. Only a pig will relish tool, because pig is on that level. Human being wants something higher, something nice, cooked food, you know, something, maybe samosa made in ghee or rasgulla or gulab jamun or sweet rice or whatever. But then when it comes to pig, you know, pig likes, you know, all the waste. Similarly, you know, just trying to equate or trying to understand this analogy on our level. So when it comes to spirit soul, spirit will always relish spirit. Spirit will never relish matter. But in our case, if we see, we relish matter only, isn't it? All the time we relish matter. We like so many things around, and everything is matter in this world. Now, what is spirit here? I'm talking about on a neophyte stage. On a very high level state, you know, when a devotee reaches or attains Krishna, you know, he sees Krishna everywhere. Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tara murti sarvatra nija hoy ishta deva spurti. So everywhere, sthavara or jangama, he sees things which are still stationary or animate things. Everywhere he sees only one thing, is ishta dev Krishna. That is pure devotee. And for us, even when we see Krishna, we see matter. We see paper, we see stone, we see metal. That is what is our state. And since we are in that state, we being spirit soul, we being spirit, we are trying to enjoy matter on the lower platform, we are suffering in our day-to-day life. This one aspect, you know, somehow we have to realize, and this is possible by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, but obvious. And the day we start acting on spiritual platform, yes, on that day, we can say that, yes, you know, my heart is a place where Krishna can reside. But when we act on material platform all the time, there are lots and lots of, you know, unwanted impressions, anarthas, which creep in our heart. And we just keep, and our, you know, mind also, it works on that platform all the way, you know, all the time, all the time. All the time thinking how to do better sense gratification, how to do this, how to do that. For what? For sense gratification. All the time, all the planning. Even the exclusive spiritual activity that we do for 2 hours, chanting, there also, you know, complete materialistic thought, planning this, planning that. In fact, when devotee was saying that, Prabhu, you know, chanting is the best time for doing the plan of the entire day. Yes. And that's the truth. Even I have realized the same. Chanting is the best time. But then, no, one thing is clear. That if we really want to, relish or understand that eternal bliss, then yes, we have to act on spiritual platform. And here we see that Billo Mangal Thakur is actually talking about all of us. He's talking about the andhakar, the ignorance, the tamas, ghor andhakar that is there in our heart. And this andhakar basically is there because we have not realized Krishna. We have not realized Krishna. Chaitanya Chaitamrita says, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahir Mahir Adhikar. Wherever there is Krishna, Maya cannot be there. Wherever there is light, darkness cannot be there. Right. So here, Billo Mangal Thakur, he's basically talking on our behalf. So he's challenging Krishna that if you don't, you have stolen everything. No, everything from my life. Now it's the time. I'll put you or I'll imprison you. No, maybe not in my heart, not in Long Thakur's heart, but in the hearts of all those people who are listening to this class. And more importantly to the speaker, he's always in ignorance. Yes. And here, Bilva Mangal Thakur, he's talking about capturing Krishna in the heart. Obviously, his heart is not tamasa. His heart is not full of tamas. His heart is full of nectar. His heart is full of light. His heart is fully pure, nectarian. And Krishna likes to reside in such place. But then Billo Mangal Thakur, trying to threaten Krishna. You have done so much nonsense till now. You have stolen so many things. And yesterday we were discussing how Krishna stole everything from Bali Maharaj, from Arjuna and so many other personalities, even for Bilwa Mangal Thakur. For Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he didn't leave the eyes also. He stole away the eyes as well. Obviously materialized and he gets spiritualized with him. So he's saying that you have done so much, now it's my turn. I will capture you in my heart. And if suppose Krishna is asking that, how long? Chirayo, eternally. And for what are you doing that? Sarvat, swachaurya dosho chitam eva dandam. For all the theft that you have done, for all the theft that you have done, this danda, this punishment I'll give, I'll keep you in the dark prison house. And what is the dark prison house? My heart. Now to understand this on our level, I was just meditating on this point. I was trying to understand what basically, you know, here Bilwa Mangal Thakur is telling us. So, and shastrically also it is proved, you know, very clearly. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham riddhisannivishto. I'm there in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhesha arjuna tishtati. 1861 Bhagavad Gita. So he's very clear that I'm there in everyone's heart. So when we say that we're capturing Krishna in the heart, means what? Capturing Krishna in the heart means realizing Krishna. And, you know, Baddha Jivas have not realized Krishna. All of us, we have not realized Krishna. So what happens is, what is that punishment that you know, Krishna feels when you know, he's there in our heart? Let's try to understand that. The punishment is, whenever we think something material, whenever we think about sense gratification, Krishna feels that pain. What is that pain? That why this living entity is not understanding that he's suffering here in this material world. Why he does not want to come back to me? What is his problem? Every time we get that sense gratification thought, every time we desire something sense gratificatory object, at that time, Krishna is the one who has to sanction. And he has to say tathastu for what, you know, we are desiring. And with a lot of pain in the heart, he has to say tathastu. Because he's acting as our order carriers in our heart. Yes. This is the punishment that Krishna feels in the heart whenever we take some decision which takes us away from Krishna. In fact, you know, we can understand one important thing here, that now whenever we desire something which takes us closer to Krishna, Krishna celebrates. Krishna celebrates, Srimati Radharani celebrates, thinking, oh, this living entity will come back to me. But as of now, in our current state, so many desires are there in our heart. So many desires. We're completely absorbed. Complete abhinavesh is there. Complete absorption is there in the material things. So one point that we have to understand is, if we really want to give pleasure to Krishna, then we have to change our desires from material desires to spiritual desires. That's what Prabhupada says in various purports. Dovetail your activities in Krishna consciousness. Dovetail your desires in Krishna consciousness. So this point is very, very important. Or else, you know, we will give nice punishment to Krishna all the time, every moment, whenever we desire anything material. So, you know, various acharyas, they very nicely say that anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and immediately reject those things which are not favorable for Krishna consciousness. See, we as living entities, you know, what is our position? What is our swarupa? Our swarupa is jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. We are das of Krishna. We are servants of Krishna. When we are servants of Krishna, then it's our responsibility to serve Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna, isn't it? Now, when we're thinking about giving pleasure to Krishna, then this question we have to ask, that what will Krishna be pleased with? And the answer for that, acharyas give. Whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness, that will give pleasure to Krishna. Whatever is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, that will really give pain to Krishna. And now, to be very frank, Krishna is Ananda Chinmaya. Sadujvala Vigraha. He is fully made up of Ananda. He is Sachidananda Vigraha. But then whenever he sees his part and parcels loitering around like this in the material world, suffering like anything, he feels that pain because of us. So every single devotee should analyze this point. Do I really want to make Krishna suffer in the prison house of my heart? If no, then we have to ask this question whenever we take any decision. Is this thing favorable for Krishna consciousness or not? If yes, we accept it fully. If no, we reject it completely. We don't have, somewhere in between, take something in between. Na thoda sa ye, thoda sa wo. No. We want Krishna and we want to give pleasure to Krishna. So we accept favorable thing only, right? So in this way, when it comes to punishment, every now and then we punish Krishna, every now and then, by desiring something material, by accepting something which is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, going away from the path of bhakti. Whenever we do these activities, Krishna feels that pain. Acharya is very clear about this. So one thing that we have to decide is, I am Das and I have to give pleasure to Krishna. So let me accept that is favorable to Krishna consciousness. And yesterday we were speaking about giving quality time. So when we give quality time to Krishna, he's the personality who relishes a lot. He relishes a lot. In fact, it is said whenever we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he comes. He manifests there in front of us, but we are not able to perceive him. We are not able to feel his experience. We cannot experience his presence. He comes and then we are busy thinking, planning, some material thing. Krishna says, okay, theek hai. I'll be there. Since you're chanting, I have to be there. I have no option. Because Krishna and his holy name are not different. So quality time, again, I repeat the same point, yesterday's point. Quality time is very, very important, extremely important. How much quality time we give in Krishna consciousness, that much will progress in Krishna consciousness. How much we do time pass, how much we slacken in our sadhana, and that much, we will go away from Krishna, we'll go away from bhakti. And attaining Krishna this lifetime will just be a fairy tale. Why is it so important to understand how to progress on the path of bhakti? Or why is it so important to advance on the path of bhakti? Why? Let's try to understand that, by the last verse of Chaurashtakam, and we'll also discuss some pastimes of those devotees who have done this. Here, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he's saying, Karagrahe vasasadaradaye madhye madbhakti pashadridabandhananishalasan Tvam Krishna he pralaya koti shatantarepi sarvasya chaurahridayannahimochayami. Hridayannahimochayami. I'm not going to release you from my heart. A heart? Yes, my heart, my karagraha. I'm not going to release you from this place. And suppose Krishna is asking, hey, why are you doing this to me? What have I done to you? Sarvasva chaura. You have stole everything from me. So I'm going to put you in my heart, in the karagraha. And suppose Krishna is asking this question that, no, see, I am free. I'm Swaraj. I am independent. I can just go. I can run away. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur, maybe he was laughing. He said, Mad Bhakti Pasha. I have tied you with the ropes of my devotion. You cannot go anywhere. You cannot go anywhere. And Krishna, he might have accepted. Theek hai, chalo. I have to be here. Okay, tell me, oh devotee, oh my dear devotee, how long will you keep me in the heart? He says, Pralaya koti shatantarepi, eternally you will be locked up in my heart. And Krishna says, theek hai. I am your das. I'm there to serve you. And we see this in various pastimes of the Lord that, he literally takes lower position than Krishna. He literally takes lower position than his devotees. He's ready to do anything for his devotees. Hope you remember Amrish Maharaj's pastime. That shloka. Aham bhakta paradhino ya swatantraiva dvija. Sadhubir grastarudayo bhakter bhakta janapriya. See, Bilwa Mangal Thakur's Vaishnava of the song is in line with Bhagavatam. In fact, it is said that all the Vaishnava bhajans which are there, they are the essence of the entire Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And look at this. Even Bhagavatam is saying, what is that? Ya svatantra eva dvija sadhubir grastarudayo. These sadhus, they actually capture me in their hearts. This is what Narayan is telling. So Durvasa Muni, when he offended Amrish Maharaj, I mean Sudarshan was going behind him, he goes to Narayana to take shelter. And in front of Narayana, he's asking, please help me. And at that time, Narayana is saying, Aham Bhakta Paradhino, I cannot do anything. Ya Swatantra Eva Dvija, I'm not independent. Why? Sadhu Bhair Grastar Hrudayo. These sadhus have captured me in their heart. And you see, when, whatever is desired in the heart, that's what will manifest. Now, whatever my devotees are desiring, that's what I will manifest. That's what I'll get it into reality. Or the other way around. These sadhus have actually captured my heart. In both the ways. Now, Krishna is in loss. Why? But you see, if Krishna wants to do something, he has to desire in the heart. And that is captured by the sadhu. So the devotees are actually deciding what Krishna should desire. So it is said that anything a pure devotee desires, that will manifest in reality. No doubt about that. And so many examples we can discuss on this particular line of Aham Bhakta Paradhino and Sadhubir Brastarudayo. In Bhagavad Gita, I don't know if that video is published, where Arjuna is giving order to Krishna. He's saying, Senayo or Ubhaya or Madhye Ratham Sthapaye Me Achyuta. No, he's ordering Krishna. Oh, Achyuta. Oh, the one follows the orders of his devotees or who does not fail to give mercy to the devotees. Take my chariot between the two armies. And Krishna, very nicely, he takes the army between the two. He takes the chariot between the two armies. Look at the position that Krishna is taking, lower than the lowest position. So devotees say that we are Das, Das, Anudas. And Krishna is saying, I'm devotee's Das. So just imagine what his level. Krishna is ready to do anything for his devotees. He is ready to take any position, any position. So we understand that whatever a pure devotee desires, that will manifest. So once, Sri Rupa Goswami, he was thinking, it's long time I've not invited Sanatana Goswami for a feast in my place. So they were all staying at different places for doing their bhajan. And they were all Ashesha Mandalapati. So they all were great Mandalapatis, great ministers. But they all left that. Ashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchyavat. They considered that to be Tuchya. And they came to Vrindavan. And they came to Vrindavan busy all the time busy, doing bhakti of Radha and Krishna, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So where is the time for going and amassing various ingredients for cooking? They would go and do madhukari, whatever they'll get, they will eat. And whatever they'll get, they will prepare, offer bhoga to Krishna, whatever deities they have, and then they'll eat. And if you remember, we had discussed about Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami would go and do madhukari. And then he would get some flour. And then he'll mix that and make roti. Or chapati or whatever. And we say braj ki roti. He'll be making that. And then he'll offer that to his Madan Mohan deity. So if you remember, we had discussed this once. Madan Mohan, he said, hey Sanatan, all the time you're offering me this, it doesn't have any taste. Put little salt in that. It will be so nice. And Sanatana Goswami, angrily he looks at Madan Mohan. He says, see, I'm doing madhukari. I'm not going and getting ingredients just like that. And today you're asking for salt. Tomorrow you'll ask for rasgulla. Where will I go? Where will I go and get it? Better, Madan Mohan, do one thing. You go away. It's okay. You go away. You take service from someone else. And what Madan Mohan replies? No. I'll stay with you. No problem. You feed me this. Without salt, I'll take. This is what we are talking about. Aham Bhakta Paradhino. He's ready to do anything for his devotees. So here Rupa Goswami was thinking that I don't have anything, but I want to invite my brother Sanatan, for a feast. And when he was desiring like that, immediately after a few minutes, a very, very beautiful girl, she came, a gopi. She came there. A Brajavasi girl, she came there with lots of ingredients for cooking. And she gave it to Rupa Goswami. Babaji, you can take and you can cook. And Rupa Goswami was so happy. He cooked a huge feast for Sanatan Goswami, invited Sanatan Goswami for that feast. And Sanatan Goswami is sitting and then he saw a huge feast arranged by Rupa Goswami. And Sanatan is like, "Are, no, we are beggars. How come you got all this?" And at that time, Rupa Goswami describes that, I desired to serve you. I wanted to give you a feast, O Gurudev. So, I desired this. And a very beautiful girl came there and she gave all these ingredients. And Sanatana Goswami doubted. Who was she? No, I don't know. And then he asked, so describe how she was. And then Sanatan Goswami started describing the beautiful features of that beautiful girl, that beautiful gopi. And then as soon as Sanatan Goswami heard that, he was like, oh, Krishna, what have you done, O Rupa? What have you done? You have taken service from Arishtatri Devi, Brajeshwari, our Brajadipa, the empress of entire Braja, the queen of entire Braja, the consort of Lord Krishna. From her you have taken service. Oh, Rupa Goswami, what have you done? This is the mood. So here Rupa Goswami desires and Krishna tells Srimati Radhani, go and give it. Can we imagine anything that a devotee desires, that gets manifested? So we say that any pure devotee, when that pure devotee prays for us, when that pure devotee desires that this devotee should go back home back to Godhead, this devotee should attain Krishna, Krishna has no option. Just imagine a pure devotee going in front of the altar and he's praying that all these people who are attending the Sunday, sorry, the Tuesday evening class, they're so nice. I pray to you, O Krishna, that you take all of them back home back to Godhead. They all are nice devotees. And the speaker is very, very nice. And Krishna might be thinking, I know how nice they are. I know how their heart is. I know everything. But since you are praying, I have no option, so I have to accept. So when Prabhupada says that chant 16 rounds, follow four related principles, you will come back to Godhead. Krishna is like, Are Bap re, this old man, what statement he has made? I have to take everyone now, everyone who chants 16 rounds, everyone who is following four regulative principles, serving Prabhupada's mission. Krishna has no option but to accept all those devotees back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada also makes a statement, if Krishna doesn't take you inside, I know all the back doors, I'll take you inside. This is pure devotee's power. They will go against, I mean, externally, they will go against, the will of Krishna. Obviously, they always think how to fulfill the desire of Krishna. That's what they always work on. Another pastime I was hearing about Kuresh. So this personality, Kurat Alwar, so one of the great personalities in South India. So again, all these great personalities were like beggars. Beggars externally, internally they were the richest, very, very rich. So his wife, she wanted to serve Kurat Alwar. He had gone out and she was thinking that, how nice if, the Mahaprasad from the temple comes here. And then as soon as she desired, now there, the Lord in the temple, he ordered the pujari that take all this Mahaprasad to Kuresh's house. And the Mahaprasadam was got in the palanquin with huge procession to the house of Kuresh. And this lady was so happy, the wife of Kuresh was so happy. Oh, Prasad has come. And then, she kept everything ready and, Kuresh comes there and he sees, Are, we are beggars, where did all this come from? And she was so happy, this has come from the temple, this is Mahaprasad of the Lord. And Kuresh asks, did you desire for it? And she said, yes, I wanted to serve you. He took her left and right, chastised her left and right. Why did you desire? You know very well, whatever we desire, Krishna fulfills, so we'll not desire anything. The mood of devotees is this, that I will not desire anything because that will be like taking service from Krishna.
Yes.
Because Krishna has to fulfill that desire. So pure devotees are on that platform where they don't want Krishna to fulfill any desire. They don't want to desire anything apart from Krishna and Krishna's service. They want to serve Krishna and Krishna wants to serve the devotees. And when Krishna wants to serve the devotees, he takes the lowest position and is ready to do anything for his devotees. Let me see how much time is there. Okay, we have some time. Let me tell you some pastimes from Brajalila. Vrindavan pastimes. Just imagine, we're talking about Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna. We're talking about the Param Ishvara. We're talking about greater than the greatest. We're talking about the controller of the controllers. We're talking about him. Let me clear it before itself because Krishna loses all these qualities when he enters Braj. So Krishna was playing with his friends, with all his Gopa friends, he was playing. And Krishna has this cheating mentality all the time. Chauragraganya, after all, no cheater, thief. So they were all playing very nicely. And then Krishna lost, Krishna's team lost. And then Sridham, Radharani's brother, he said, "Now, okay, you have to carry me on your back. You become the horse, I'll sit on your back." And then Krishna said, No, I'm not going to do all this." Then Sridham said, "Why? You have lost, you have to." And Krishna is like, "I am Nanda Nandan. I am Nanda Nandan. I am the son of Nanda Maharaj. You know who is Nanda Maharaj?" And Sridham is like, "I know who is Nanda Maharaj and I know who you are. So you carry me on your back. It hardly matters who you are. Now in the game, we all are equal." And Krishna is like, No. I have 9,99,999 cows. No, I'm this person. I'm that person. I did this. I did that." And Sridham is like, "Shut your mouth and carry me on your back." And Krishna is like, "I'm not going to do that." And Sridham, in front of everyone, now all the gopas, he said, "If Krishna does not carry me on his back, we will not allow Krishna to play with us." And then Krishna said, we'll see. And Krishna went in one corner and he sat there. And everyone is playing here. They're playing nice game. And everyone is laughing and giggling. And they're telling, "Oh, this is so nice. This game is so nice. Let's enjoy." And they were loudly speaking. Just so that Krishna can hear. And Krishna is sitting in one corner. And then he's crying tears there. "These people are not taking me to play." And he's crying tears. And then Sridham, he went there to Krishna. And he asked Krishna, "Now will you carry me on your back?" And again they went to play. And again they all were playing, loudly talking. "Oh, this game is so nice. That game is so nice. Oh, run like this, hide like this." They were all discussing like that. And Krishna is crying profusely there. "No, why are these people are doing like this? Why are these people are torturing me?" And Sridham comes there again. And then he's asked, "See, Krishna, I'm asking you for the last time. Do you want to play with us or not? If you want to play with us, you have to carry me on your back. Will you carry me on your back?" And Krishna had to carry Sridham on the back. And finally, all the gopas accepted Krishna. Are Bob, who's crying? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's crying for what? To play. And this entire world is a plaything for Krishna. Yasvatmanidam nijamaya arpitam kwachit vibhatam kwachatat tirohitam. So Gajendra is saying, "Kwachit vibhatam kwachatat tirohitam." You create this world and you annihilate this world. How? Just like that. It's like a plaything for you. And here in Braj, with those devotees who have captured the heart of Krishna, sadubir grastha rudayo, the ones who have captured the heart of Krishna, Krishna is behaving like this. He's hankering for that association. He's hankering for that association. Hope you all know the pastime, Rukmini kidnapping Krishna. No? Rukmini kidnapping Krishna? Krishna didn't kidnap Rukmini, if you properly analyze. It was Rukmini who kidnapped Krishna. She wrote a letter to Krishna that Bhuvana Sundara, she starts with this line, "Oh, the most beautiful one. Oh, Priyatam." And she writes that letter. She gives it to the Brahmana. And Brahmana goes to Krishna and he reads the letter. And then when, Brahmana is reading the letter, and when Krishna is hearing, Sadubir Grastarudayo, Rukmini has captured the heart of Krishna. And whatever Rukmini said to Krishna, "This is what you have to do. Come to this place. Do this, do this, do this. This is how you have to kidnap me. And don't get your sena. Get only few leading people. That's it." Krishna followed step by step whatever Rukmini told. He immediately, as soon as the letter finished, he immediately left from that place. And then he didn't take anyone, as it was ordered by Rukmini, as it was planned by Rukmini. And then he goes there to that place where Rukmini was there, who had come out for doing some rituals. And then by Rukmini's order, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. Now tell me who kidnapped whom? Devotees kidnap Krishna. And then devotees only write that, "You have kidnapped me, Chauragraganya." This is the mood of devotees. Amazing this is. When we analyze this, really amazing. Okay, so we just have 10 minutes. So I'll just discuss one more pastime. So this was Jhulan Yatra. Now, Jhulan Yatra in Braj is very, very famous. So it's like the description of Radha Kund is given like this. So we have Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, and then surrounding Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, there are 8 forests of different colors. And every forest has got beautiful swings. And when the swing festival starts, so all the swings in the entire Vrindavan and all the forests, those are decorated very, very beautifully so that Radha and Krishna can swing on that particular swing. Yes. And who will do this? All the gopis will do that. So one day, you know, this entire swing festival was about to start in the evening. And all the gopis, they were busy decorating the swing. They were plucking flowers and making nice garlands. And you know, they were plucking fruits and decorating the entire swing. And leaves they were using, all the you know, vines they were using, and then putting it across very nicely, you know, making it very, very beautiful. So all the gopis are doing this, and then Krishna arrived at that place. Srimati Radharani was still there, you know, dressing herself for her Priyatam, now for her lover, Krishna. She was dressing herself very beautifully. So she was taking some time. And here, Krishna had already arrived, and you know, the swing is already ready. And all the gopis, they're ready with, you know, all the instruments and, you know, they're ready singing the song and things like that. And there comes our radio messenger. Who is that? Narada Muni. So Narada Muni comes there and he's saying, every year, what's happening? It looks like some big festival is happening here. And then, long, long time back, Krishna had given Narada Muni a boon that whatever he'll ask, I'll fulfill that desire. So Narada Muni, he wanted to get some twist, you know, in the entire pastime. See, Narada Muni, people say that he's chuglikhor, chugalkhor. He, you know, he tells, you know, from here to there, from there to here. He'll just keep telling the messages, you know, from different places. But then, when it comes to Narada Muni, you have to understand what Narada Muni does. Narada Muni just tries to create more and more bliss in that particular pastime of Radha and Krishna. See, Narada Muni is a great devotee. He'll always assist the lordships in their pastimes. He will not create havoc in the pastime. Right? Everywhere, wherever Narada Muni is doing something, and externally when it looks mischievous, we have to just, you know, hold on and then go back to Acharya commentaries, go back to Prabhupada's purport and just read. You know, there we'll get to know that what is Narada Muni doing. Everywhere. Be it the Krishna's pastime in Karagraha, where Vasudev and Devaki, they got the first child, and you know they gave it to Kans. They said, Kans, you can take. You know, we had promised you, so we're giving you this child. And you know, at that time, looking at the magnanimous attitude of Vasudev, and the honesty of Vasudev, that he promised me, so he's giving his newborn baby to me, so that I can kill. No, I will not do this. So Kans Maharaj, you know, he told Vasudev that you take the baby. You know, anyways, eighth son is going to kill. Oh, first son, what he has done to me. And then Vasudev, anyways, he knew that, you know, this person is a khal. This person is a rogue. Anytime his mind can change. But okay, he's telling, so I'll take it. So he was taking. Vasudev leaves and Narada Muni enters. And then he goes and talks to Kans Maharaj. He says, what have you done? Do you know what have you done? You have left your own Kala. The death personified has just went away from your palace. What are you doing? No, don't you're a fool. Oh, Kans, you're a fool. And Kans, he started saying, no, you don't know the Akashvani. Narada Muni might be thinking, Arey, Baba, I was also part of Akashvani. So Kans, he said, see, eighth son of Devaki is going to kill me, not the first son. And then Narada Muni, he gives a lotus flower to Kans, and then he says, start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So eight petal lotus it was. 8. Now Narada Muni says, okay, you started from this petal. Now start from this petal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then he said, but Kans, did you notice something? The eighth petal became the first petal when you're counting like this. So it means the eighth son of Devaki can become the first son of Devaki and come. And anyways, Vishnu, Krishna is Chauragra Ganya. He's thief. He's cheater. He can cheat easily. And at that time, Kansa is saying, absolutely correct you are. Thank you so much. Oh, Narada Deva, thank you so much. It's you who have saved me today. Thank you very much. And he orders his ministers, go and get Vasudev with the child. And, you know, the child comes and, you know, he kills the child. And like this, he kills all the six kids of Vasudev and Devaki. Externally, if we analyze what Narada Muni did, Narada Muni gave torture to Devaki and Vasudev. Six kids getting killed. Oh, what is Narada Muni doing? Externally, we might feel like this, but the internal reason for this is Narada Muni wanted Krishna to appear faster. If the child is there, then Devaki and Vasudev will delay. You know, will delay to beget the eighth son. So Narada Muni wanted to fasten the process. He wanted the process to go more faster. And he wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted that most beautiful personality. He wanted Arisudana, Madhusudana to appear there. So he did that. Right? And many, many such pastimes are there where we not understand at one go what is Narada Muni doing. So it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Na Vigena Bhujaye. We can never understand a Vaishnava's mudra. We cannot understand what a Vaishnava is doing. What his thought process is when he's doing this activity. Only when we go deeper, then we'll understand. Wow, this is such a high mode. Only then we can understand. And here, same thing Narada Muni is going to do. So the swing festival is about to start. And Narada Muni is looking at Krishna. He's looking at all the gopis. He's thinking, how can I enhance this pastime? And Narada Muni tells Krishna that, Krishna, you remember you had given me a boon? Yes, today I want to ask that boon. Now, Krishna will know what he's going to ask. Something really terrible is going to happen now. But Krishna said, okay, theek, I've given you a boon. Okay, ask what it is. And then Narada Muni says that, see, in every swing festival, you sit with Srimati Radharani. This swing festival, I want you to sit with Lalita Sakhi. I want both of you to sit on the swing and have this festival started. Krishna was like, "Arey, bapre, what he's asking?" And Lalita Sakhi is feeling embarrassed. He's like, no, how can I sit at Radharani's place? Not possible. And then Narada Muni is like, no, this is what is my desire and you have to fulfill. Sadhu bir grastha rudayo. You have to fulfill my desire. And then Krishna, he's like, okay, chalo, come Lalita, come, we'll sit. And then Krishna sat on the swing. Lalita Sakhi, with lots and lots of embarrassment, she came and she sat with Krishna on the swing. And then all the gopis, they started singing. They started playing instruments. And the swing festival started without Srimati Radharani. And, the swing festival started nicely. They're singing and they're swinging. And Narada Muni was there and Krishna looked at Narada Muni. Narada Muni is very satisfied. And they all became busy in the swing festival. And Narada Muni, slowly, he took steps back. And he escaped from that place. And he directly came. He appeared in the inner quarters of Srimati Radharani where she was dressing. So Radharani is sitting in front of the mirror. And then she's dressing herself very nicely, putting various things. Dressing herself for the pleasure of Krishna. See, we also dress ourselves. But then, the difference between the great devotees and us is we dress for our pleasure. We dress for satisfaction of our ego. We dress so that everyone else around will open their mouth. Handsome. Beautiful. But when it comes to pure devotees, they dress themselves to give pleasure to Krishna. This is very, very important. Very, very important. And Srimati Radharani was doing that. All the gopis would be doing that. Yes, even gopas would be doing that. Everyone will be dressing themselves very, very nicely. In fact, it is said that whenever we come to temple, whenever we go in front of our altar, we should be dressed very nicely. We should put tilak, we should be in Vaishnava attire. Because Krishna really likes that. Srila Prabhupada, our entire Acharya Gan, all of them, they like when we are dressed in Vaishnava attire. Because this Vaishnava attire is the attire similar to that in Vaikuntha. Yes. So this dhoti kurta is very, very important, or sari is very, very important. Tilak is very, very important. The stamp which is there, this is actually abhushan. This is one of the greatest ornament that we have. The lotus feet of Krishna and the great devotee of Krishna, Tulsi Maharani, on our forehead. And Tulsi all the time, these three lines, they are much, much, much valuable as compared to that of any Kohinoor hira or any jewel or anything, because these three lines or this line of Kantimala can actually help us to break not the mala of birth and death. But no Kohinoor Hira which we wear will help us to do that. And whenever we dress like this, Krishna is very much pleased, very much pleased. So devotees dress, you know, for Krishna. This is our duty as devotees to dress for Krishna. And that's what Srimati Radharani would do. That's what gopis would do. That's what gopas would do. They would all dress for Krishna. Oh, Krishna likes this color, so let me wear this. Srimati Radharani, she wears blue color all the time. Yes. Why? She's always meditating on the bluish-blackish form of Krishna. Yes. And Krishna wears yellow, not thinking about the golden form of Srimati Radharani. That is the intimate relationship of the Lord and his devotees. And here Srimati Radharani is dressing herself and Narad Muni from behind is asking, oh, Devi, oh, Srimati Radharani, for what are you dressing? Hey, Narada, I'm getting late. No, I'm already late. I have to go for the swing festival. Krishna will be waiting for me. And Narad Muni is like, you're so innocent. Oh, Radharani, you're so innocent. The swing festival has already started. And Radharani is like, no, impossible. No, it cannot start without me. And Narada is like, no, it has started. And then Radharani answers the question, who is sitting besides Krishna? And Narada is like, Lalita Sakhi is sitting besides Krishna. And Radharani is like, how come? How is this happening? So by the way, when it comes to Radharani, her mood is different. Her mood is about giving pleasure to Krishna. It hardly matters for her which devotee is there with Krishna. In fact, for us also, you know, it is said, Srila Prabhupada says that Srimati Radharani recommends our name to Krishna. How she recommends? She says, look at those devotees who are discussing Chavarashtakam. All of them are amazing devotees. Krishna, take them back home, back to Godhead. Now, they are much better than me, Radharani says. Can you imagine that? And then for this particular pastime, you know, to give pleasure to Krishna, Srimati Radharani is becoming angry. She became so angry. And then Narad Muni is like, let's go there and see what's happening. Let's stop this. How can Krishna do this? No, Narada Muni. Narada Muni is doing this. And then Radharani, she is the supreme goddess of fortune. And Narada Muni is a great devotee. Both of them, they appeared immediately from this room to that place directly. And then Narada Muni, is showing to Srimati Radharani, look, you are telling no. Look what is happening. Look at that bluish-blackish form, that person. He's sitting with that girl, that gopi. No one cares for you, Radhe. No one cares for you. And then Radharani is like very, very angry. And then she's looking at Krishna. And, when all this was happening, you can imagine suddenly, the entire swing festival stops. All the song, all the instrument. And immediately Krishna gets up from the swing and Lalita Sakhi is there. She also gets up immediately embarrassed. And then Radharani goes to one corner under the tree and she sits and she's profusely crying. And then Krishna goes there. This is called as Manlila. So Srimati Radharani, she gets angry with Krishna so that she can give pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna also likes, Krishna also likes to go and console her and things like that. Then he went to tell her that, what was the fact, why this thing happened. So Srimati Radhana is crying tears, she's crying and then she's sitting under the tree. And then Krishna goes and he's begging, no, please forgive me, I'll not do this, I'll not do that. And Radhana is like, no, I'm not going to listen to anything. And you know what Krishna did? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all the controllers, the water which has washed the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is held by the creator of this entire universe, whose name is the four-headed Brahma. And the annihilator, that is Lord Shiva, he holds that water, the Charanamrita, on his head. And the same personality, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he, with his beautiful lotus hands, touches the beautiful lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, begging for forgiveness. Sadhubir Grasta Rudayo, this is what we're talking about. Krishna is lower than his devotees. He proves it in all the pastimes. Everywhere where there is interaction between a pure devotee and Krishna, Krishna takes the lowest position. Arey, he washed the feet of Sudama with his tears. With his tears, he washed the feet of Sudama. Here, the same thing is happening. He is washing the feet of Srimati Radharani with his own tears, touching his feet and touching her feet and begging forgiveness. And you know, he's like, I'll explain you, listen to me, I'll explain you. And Radharani says, no, I don't want to hear anything. And like, no, please hear, it was Narad Muni's desire. And Radharani's like, what? And then Krishna, he describes what happened. He says that, you know, I gave a boon to Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni had this desire that I should swing with Lalita Sakhi. And then we were not interested, but since he had this desire, you know, I had to sit. And then Krishna asked, but how come you came suddenly? She said, Narada Muni. And both of them are looking at Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is singing on his veena. So in this way, we see that this greatest of the greatest thief is so sweet, is so sweet. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kaviviriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhuvi granantiye bhuridajanah. Tava kathamritam, Krishna's katha amrita is so sweet, so nectarian, that can purify anyone and everyone, even we who are so dirty, even we whose heart is filled with ghor tamas, even we can get purified. Krishna Katha has that power. Krishna's holy name has that power. The only thing that we need to do is somehow or the other, we have to keep our thought process very pure. Jagrat Avastha, our wakeful state has to be pure, where we are thinking how to serve Krishna better, where we are thinking that how can I assist this Chauragra Ganya in his pastimes? Instead of doing our own pastimes the entire day, day after day, week after week, year after year. Yes, we have to think, how can I assist Krishna in his pastimes? How can I assist Srila Prabhupada in the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna? Yes. So this should be our thought process. When this is our thought process, so at that time, automatically, you know, we would always keep thinking about, no, I want to, you know, elevate on this platform of Krishna consciousness because I want to go and serve Krishna. What service am I able to do with this Papa Sharira? You tell me, with this Sharir that we have got, with this body which we have got, you know, are we able to do much service? You know, it needs food, it needs sleep, you have to take bath. What sort of body is this? Really? But what to do? We have to use this body to serve. Now, so devotees don't like this Papa Sharira. They don't like because it has got a limitation. They cannot serve Krishna unlimitedly. Time is short. Now, 24 hours, it starts, Mangalati ends somehow. Now, in between, what happened, no one knows. Yes. And then this body gets tired. We cannot just keep, you know, slogging and, you know, remain awake all the time. Not possible. So a devotee, you know, is having that mood that I want to give pleasure to Krishna. No, he wants to attain Krishna. He wants to go back home, back to Godhead, not for, oh, this world is full of suffering, I don't want to stay here, so I want to go back to Krishna so that I can enjoy there. No, that is not the mood of a devotee. The devotee's mood is, no, I'm not able to serve Krishna here properly. What will I do staying here in this material world? What will I do in this material world? I want to go back home, back to Godhead so that I can serve Krishna to the fullest, to Krishna's heart's content, to my heart's content. Now that mood, a devotee aspires to go back home, back to Godhead. This all starts with giving quality time to Krishna every single day. See, we cannot miss out on this great opportunity of this rare human form of attaining Krishna this very lifetime. We cannot. We cannot. Yes. If we do that, then we are fool number one. We are the greatest fool, no doubt about that, if we do this. So we have to utilize this rare human form to attain Krishna this very lifetime. We have to. Every single day is a day, it's an opportunity that is given by Krishna that, yes, oh Jiva, oh living entity, you can come back to me. You can come back to me. And the process is given by the Acharya to all of us. Prabhupada has given the entire process how to go back, come back to God at this very lifetime. The only thing that we have to do is just work for the pleasure of Prabhupada and the entire parampara. That's it. We have to just follow their instruction. No need of using our dirty minds and dirty heart, which is full of ghor tamas. No need of that. Instruction is given, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. We just execute, tuck, 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 tuck. That's it. That's what is our job. That's what is our job description as servants. That's what is the job description of a disciple. When we do this, when we give pleasure to Sri Guru, Gauranga, by following their instruction. Yes. Now they can actually do what we are desiring, take us back home, back to God. Pull us, I should say, pull us back home, back to God. Because we are very much interested to be here. We'll hold. No, I want to come back home. I want to be here. Oh, what about this? What about that? I'll miss out on all these. No, I don't want to come. And the guru is like, come. He'll pull us and take us home, back to God. Every single day when we get up, every single day is an opportunity. Every single day. We cannot miss. We cannot think of missing even one day, because that one day is the day of the rare human form. Now, suppose a person lives for 70 years. It's just 70 into 365. That's it. Only those many days we have. And in that, we miss one day. One day of rare human form. How can we do that? We cannot. Every single day, that fire should be there in the heart. No, I want to give pleasure to Krishna. I want to attain Krishna this very lifetime. How can I be here? Arey Baba is such a sweet Lord. Here, we are serving all the nonsensical bosses, hearing all their nonsense the entire day, 9 to 6. Just imagine about the sweet boss that we have. Why can't we work hard to go back, come back to God, to Him, to serve that sweet personality? Right? Every single day is an opportunity to give pleasure to Krishna. Every single day. A devotee, as soon as he gets up, this is the prayer that he offers. That, oh Lord, please empower me so that I can give pleasure to you. Pleasure to Sri Guru and Gauranga by utilizing my entire existence, my entire consciousness in serving you. And this is how the devotee gets up from the bed. And while sleeping, now please help me so that I can serve you in the dream also. Please empower me so that next day, again is energetic for me so that I can serve you better. So in this way, every devotee has to understand that yes, every single day is an opportunity that Krishna is giving to go back, come back to Godhead, to get closer to Him.